That's the big band sound of Gene Krupa and Let Me Off Uptown with the singing of Anita O'Day and Roy Eldridge.
We have more guests crowded into our studio here.
McKenna, that's the kind of bad music I'm talking about.
Sorry, Mr. Raffoli, but we're talking about the Hotel Superior fire. Lou's trying to do interviews here.
Well, okay. Sure is crowded in here, and it smells kind of smoky, too.
Smoky? Chief Sweeney, are we on fire?
It's hard to get that smoky smell out of your clothes.
Oh, and here. I must have scrubbed and shampooed I don't know how many times.
You should try my shampoo. My hair smells just fine.
Hey, kind of lemony. I like that.
Anyway, our guests include Fire Chief Sweeney, bellhop Ed Jacobs.
Yep, that's me.
Clerk on duty at the time of the fire, Marty Anderson. Bar manager.
That's tavern, if you please.
Hotel Superior tavern manager, Glenn Farrell.
Don't forget old Georgie.
And George G. Newton of George G. Newton Realty, who was sitting in the lobby listening to the ball game with everybody. I'd also like to welcome Mrs. Mary Tiedman, longtime hotel resident.
Mr. Martin, I've listened to you for years. What a pleasure. Although I wish it were under better circumstances.
Tell everyone about Bernard, Mrs. Tiedman. Bernard, yeah.
Yes, Eddie, I will. Would you please hold my bag while I sit here? Here's a little something for you.
He just got a nickel tip.
Sure. Once a bellhop, always a bellhop.
This is not easy for me to talk about, Mr. Martin. This was so horrible, yet so brave. It all happened slowly, and it almost cost me my Bernard.
Yeah, tell them about Bernard, Mrs. Tiedman. Tell them.
Eddie, would you get me a glass of water, please?
Yes, Mrs. Tiedman.
Well, there was banging and yelling, and everyone was wondering if this was some kind of German attack on Superior. You know, they've got secret weapons. And, well, when Mr. Anderson came to my door and told me the hotel was on fire, my word, my neighbor, Mrs. Ida Newell, fainted right there in her doorstep.
And that's when Glenn grabbed her and took her right to safety, down three floors.
Oh, it was nothing.
You've got an angel in heaven looking after you, Mr. Farrell, even though you run that filthy saloon.
That's tavern. Filthy tavern.
Well, you see, Ida's son is the Reverend J. Pierce Newell, and down the hall, Mrs. Arthur Esterling has been ill and in no condition to go running down three flights of stairs. So, firefighters carried her out on ladders. Oh, and then there's Mrs. Hansen. She hasn't been out of her room since she had surgery last September. Bernard and I visit her regularly to keep her spirits up. She got help, too.
Here's your water, Mrs. Tiedman.
And here's a little something for you, Eddie.
She just tipped him another nickel. Say, Mrs. Tiedman, need anything else?
Well, Eddie handles my needs. He's a hero, too, you know.
And now comes the part about Bernard.
Well, I can tell you, the smoke started getting thicker. There was no time for Eddie to carry our things down the stairs. The elevators weren't working. Wouldn't you know it? Anyway, people, men and women, were helping us out to safety. It was all such rush. So much so, Bernard almost got left behind. If he hadn't been yelling to me, oh dear.
Well, yeah, he was croaking sweetums. And Bernie wants a cracker.
Bernie wants a cracker? What the heck's that about, Lou?
Don't ask me. I'm only the newsman doing the interview. Of which I think I've gotten in two words in edgeways.
Well, everybody knows Bernie.
Oh, but we didn't know about the Sweetums thing until then.
That's our personal business, mind you. I insisted that Eddie and Marty and you...
Your friendly, filthy barkeep.
That Bernard be rescued. I refused to leave otherwise. Life without Bernie is too lonely to think about.
Bernie's her parrot. Yeah.
He saved him. Not a feather was harmed.
He even called me Sweetums once or twice.
We've got more rescue news coming up, friends, but first, let's take this little musical break. Let's check in with Charlie Barnett and his big hit, Cherokee, on the Martin and McKenna Show. Fine sounds of Charlie Barnett and Cherokee on this Saturday afternoon special edition of Martin and McKenna. Now to the master interviewer, Lou Martin.
Chief Sweeney, tell us about the heroic rescue of Mr. Carl Schultz.
Oh, well, that was a close call. We thought we had everyone out. The fire had spread big time by then. The Duluth Fire Department had arrived to help. People were everywhere. You couldn't really take a head count. We needed to make sure everyone got out. And then the crowd started pointing to the fourth floor.
I owe my life to this man. I love this guy. All these guys, all these smokers, it's crowded in here.
We're probably breaking the fire code. This is Mr. Carl Schultz, resident of the Hotel Superior.
I was sleeping. Yeah, I'm 60 years old, you know. We need a nap now and then. All of a sudden, I wake up and I can hardly breathe. I didn't know if I was back in no man's land in the Great War. I shake my head, and it comes to me. Carl, I say to myself, that's Carl me, you're in big trouble, boy. I put my towel in the water bowl and put the towel over my head. I stick my head out the window, but I'm coughing so much, I can't yell.
Oh, we spotted him right off. We cranked the steel ladder toward his window. Then he ducked back in his room.
We thought he was going to try to go down the stairway, but then it was all in flames.
Oh, yeah, he would have been a goner.
Yeah, but then just as we got to his window, he appeared again.
Oh, you should have heard the crowd cheering. It was like it was New Year's Eve.
or a rousing reverend sermon.
I put my shirt and socks on before I went back to the window.
That's hotel policy. No bare feet. And you got to have your shirt on.
You wouldn't think a 60-year-old man could climb down a ladder so fast.
You made a good fireman, Mr. Schultz.
We've got more on the Hotel Superior fire, folks. But first, let's hear this new one by Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra, with vocals by that new sensational crooner, Frank Sinatra. From our 1940 hit parade, then, this is Trade Winds on the Martin and McKenna Show. Dorsey and his orchestra with Frank Sinatra singing Trade Winds.
Hey!
On station KUWS.
Hey, what's going on in here? This studio isn't big enough for all you people. Get. Where's your respect? Jack and Lou, what are you doing? Throwing some bash with a bunch of hooligans or what?
I beg your pardon.
That's our engineer, Joe Gardonio, always looking out for the best interests of the radio station. Joe, meet the gang.
Everyone, it's much more comfortable outside. We have picnic tables and several lunch items. Oh,
boy, I saw some of Lou's famous Solon Springs chicken wings on the grill.
And we'll be choosing sides for the tug of war, too. It's Joe Raffaele's team against Jack McKenna's team.
Hey, if Jack is the anchor, put me on his side.
I may just get an anchor. That'd show old Raffy.
McKenna, you'll rule the day you ever match Braun with me. Say, someone told me that this Bernard guy's quite a fella. So, he's on my team, huh?
Aren't you, Fire Chief James Sweeney?
At your service, Mr. Engineer.
Wait here. Oh, I've got something to show you. It could save the world from the future hotel fire catastrophes. I'll tell you that.
Oh, no.
This should be a treat, folks. Another of Joe's inventions.
While we wait for that bit of excitement, it's my privilege to introduce to you Mrs. Elsie Barnett of Duluth. She's a resident of the Holland Hotel, but from 1904 to 1924, she lived at the Hotel Superior. Good afternoon, madam.
I brought some bars for your picnic. I made them myself.
And Mr. Lyman T. Powell, another former resident who stayed 3 years around the turn of the century.
Charmed. I also brought cookies. The wife makes grand cookies. She's the one responsible for this paunch I've acquired over the years.
Mr. Powell and Mrs. Barnett, please tell us about the early days of the Hotel Superior.
Oh, it was a wonderful place. The center of social circles. Anyone who was anybody was there. Isn't that right, Lyman?
Oh, I could name some names.
John Murphy, the man who founded the Evening Telegram newspaper, was a regular, God rest his soul.
And Ogden Hammond was a familiar figure there.
Poor Mr. Sylvie. Don't forget him. God rest his soul.
Oh, I forgot about Sylvie. You know, he went down on the Titanic in 1912. He was on his way back to Superior. Superior's one link to the Titanic. Oh, and the historic people who visited. You remember, Mrs. Barnett, when Teddy Roosevelt stopped during his campaign?
Yes, I do. He was a little rough. I especially liked it when Mr. William Jennings Bryan visited. My lands, what a man. God rest his soul.
Oh, my favorite, though, won't be in the history books, although he should be. Remember when hotel manager Robert Kelly brought in colored waiters to try to class up the place?
I certainly do. He brought them from the Plankington Hotel in Milwaukee. He gave them blue uniforms with gold trim.
Oh, my favorite was Smiley. Smiley was an aristocrat of the colored world, as fine a gentleman as there was. You know, when he finally retired, he headed for Florida. And Mrs. Barnett and Mr. Martin, you'll never believe it, but we last heard that at the ripe old age of 90, Smiley became a father.
Just one more question.
Giving you a total of two, I believe.
Tell us about the social life of the Hotel Superior.
I remember the Opera House. You know, the Opera House was just across the street.
Oh, in fact, not a lot of people know this, but there is a 250-foot tunnel that connects the Opera House with the hotel. It's still there. It was built for pipes and stuff to go under Belknap. It's 5 feet high, 3 feet wide, so a body could sneak between the two buildings, especially during Prohibition.
Why, Lyman, not you too?
Oh, everybody did it back in the 20s. By Jiminy, that was the place to go. John Drew played there, so did Nat Goodwin, and they all stayed at the Hotel Superior. It was upper crust.
Dinner cost $3. That's a lot now, but even more back then. And a room, $3 a night. $17 a week.
Oh, that's highbrow.
Oh, it just breaks my heart to think the old hotel has burned.
Oh.
Do you remember the sleigh rides, Lyman? Tell them about the sleigh rides.
Oh, yes. There were some real champagne affairs in those days. The sleigh ride would start at the Hotel Superior, go down Tower Avenue to the St. James Hotel in South Superior, then head out to the Euclid Hotel in East End.
And in the summer, dashing young men from the men's riding club would have riding parties to Oliver, then across the bridge to Duluth and the Spalding Hotel, and then take a barge back to Superior. Oh, that was so long ago. So long ago. A different time before cars and everyone was in a hurry.
Oh, this is true. Sometimes the Minnesota men would swim their horses across the river back to Duluth. Imagine that.
Thank you, Mrs. L.C. Barnett and Mr. Lyman T. Paul, former residents of the Hotel Superior.
Accompany me to the picnic, Lyman?
With pleasure, ma'am.
So, for all the dead people who stayed at the Hotel Superior, God rest their souls. Here's Charlie Barnett and Where Was I on the Martin and McKenna Show.
that you surrendered to a sigh. Where was I? The moon was high the night that you first listened to a lie. Where was I? I was right. The moment came, but what a shame that someone else came by. Where was I?
Was I, by Charlie Barnett and his orchestra. No relation to Mrs. Barnett, I assume. Vocals by Marianne McCall. Boy, what an afternoon. I wonder how the fire chief is doing with Engineer Joe. I suppose he's got one of his screwy inventions for the chief.
He's got a knack for coming up with contraptions.
I'll have you know, this contraption, as you call it, it'll save lives. Well, I just showed it to Chief Sweeney, and he sure sounded impressed. Well, he said he had to hurry off to the fire station. I bet he's telling everyone about it.
Well, it looked to me like he was bored right out of his skull and was trying to escape before he was bored to death.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We're not going to start on that again.
I'll just have you know that the Hotel Superior would be standing in one piece now if it had been fully equipped with Auto Bubble Burster. I like to call her Abby. The principle for old Abby is simple, relying on our old friend, Mr. Gravity. You simply conceal the Abby and her large quantity of water above the ceiling. Now, little bubbles will stick out of the ceiling in certain places, so when fire strikes, the heat will burst the bubble, immediately flooding the room with life-saving liquid, and voila, the fire's out.
I hate to be the one to burst your bubble, but that won't work. All it'll do is get people wet whenever it gets near any sharp object.
Now, who goes around poking ceilings with sharp objects?
Ding-dong engineers with bubble bursters named Abby, that's who.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Hey, how would you like to be in my tug-of-war team?
Yeah.
And I'm getting hungry. Let's play one last number before we say goodbye. Here's one from the movie The Big Broadcast of 1938. This is Harry Sosnick and his orchestra with Bob Hope and Shirley Ross singing Thanks for the Memories on the Martin and McKenna Saturday Afternoon Special.
Hey, all right, now, googly on the only, you can be in the front, so if we lose, you're the one that goes in the drink.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Thanks for the memory of sentimental verse. Nothing in my purse, and chuckles when the preacher said, for better or for worse,
how lovely it was. Thanks for the memory of Schubert's serenade, little things of jade, and traffic jams, and anagrams, and bills we never paid.
How lovely it was. We who could laugh over big things were parted by only a slight thing.
I wonder if we did the right thing. Oh, well, that's life, I guess.
I love your dress.
Do you?
It's pretty.
Thanks for the memory of faults that you forgave, rainbows on a wave,
and stockings in the basin when a fellow needs a shave. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the memory of tinkling temple bells, alma mater yell,
and Cuban rum and towels from the very best hotels.
Oh, how lovely it was. Thanks for the memory of cushions on the floor, hashed with Dinty Moore, that pair of gay pajamas that you bought and never wore.
Say, by the way, whatever became of those pajamas?
Huh?
Huh?
We said goodbye with a highball.
Then I got as high as a steeple.
Did you?
But we were intelligent people.
No tears, no fuss. Hooray for us. Strictly on the news. Darling, how are you?
And how are all those little dreams that never did come true?
Awfully glad I met you.
Cheerio and toodaloo.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bob Hope and Shirley Ross singing with the Harry Sosnick Orchestra and Thanks for the Memories on station KUWS.
An appropriate way to end the show, I suppose. An ode to the Hotel Superior.
You boys need to get moving. The three-layer jello is already gone and we've had the egg toss. You should see George G. Newton. The Red Cross lady splattered him, but good.
As long as we don't miss the three-legged brace, my dear. It'll be fun.
Win or lose.
And I've got to find an anchor small enough to hide in my pants for the tug of war. That's a wrap, friends. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and I can't find an anchor small enough to hide in my pants. For Lou Martin, then, and today's cast of thousands, this is Jack McKenna saying, thanks for the memories.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1940, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farag is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, Kathy Loxo, Al Katz, John Munsell, Tom Martinson, Ray Paulson, Don Hansen, Don Mason, Joey Laporte, and Gene Andreese. All events reported on Radio Superior 1940 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this same time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.